Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Nancy, who is here to talk with us about the recording and listening practice. Welcome, Nancy.
Hello, Jen. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being with us.
So as you know,
recording and listening has been really a central part of practice. I was thinking about it today for quite some time. Sometimes it can feel new, but it really isn't anymore. It's been around for a while, and we like to regularly have people on Good News to talk about their own recording and listening practice, just to share ideas and inspiration and that sort of thing, but also because there are always people who are newer to practice listening, and it's nice to talk about what the recording and listening practice is and help folks get started on that if they haven't yet. So I thought maybe we'd start there, kind of with the basics, just spend a minute or two on what is the recording and listening practice.
Yes, right. Well, for me, the recording and listening practice has been a real support to my practice as far as recognizing when I'm identified and being mm-hmm. able to use the recorder as a place to disidentify from the voices, from the stories, from the conversations that keep us out of the present moment.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's been a wonderful tool for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Absolutely. It's my experience as well. Yep.
Right. I mean, this is not to take the place of meditation.
Right.
Of course, that is the ultimate tool.
Uh-huh.
However, this is such a support to that. I mean, it just seems to go hand in hand with it. And I have found it to be totally transforming as far as recognizing the difference between being caught up in a story and being in the present moment.
Right. Yeah, so one of the main ways that you've used it is to really begin to see the difference between, we could say, the dark room and the light room, when I'm identified, when I'm in a conversation with conditioned mind, and when we're just here in the present moment. And that it seems like the recording is so helpful for that, because what's happening, of course, when we're identified, when we're listening to a conversation, is that we don't realize it, even though it's completely obvious
Exactly. Once
we do. But we're literally inside of our head having a conversation. But because
it's
inside of our head, it goes unnoticed. We don't realize that that's what's happening. But as soon as we say it out loud into a recorder, we can actually hear that that's what's happening.
Right. And mm-hmm. when I first started doing it, when I first started recording, I would use it as a place to tell the story. You know, it was probably a relief to everybody around me when I started doing this, because now I could use the recorder and so I would tell the story. I would just use it as a place that would that I could just kind of put it all out there, so to speak. And when I listened back to it, I could really tell, well, yes, I was definitely, identified in that recording. And then I could record again as the mentor and just offer the encouragement and the love and the support and the reassurance to that one that was telling the story. So that's
right.
How it began for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then as it went, as years probably years went on, I began to see that that it was not much story as what much as that it was just that the mentor would naturally drop in, and I could see that it was I began to identify with the mentor. That's the only way I can think of it. I began to identify with the mentor rather than the victim that was telling the story.
Right.
So I was actually living from the perspective of the mentor. and not the one in the conversation.
Gosh.
So that was a big shift. And
that's
yeah.
a huge shift. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, it really, it's a, yeah, please continue.
Well, I was just saying, and then it was like a progression, and then it was as if the stories weren't important anymore. And because I could catch on to them so quickly. So lately my recordings have been of encouragement and support and, you know, kind of the cheerleading and, you know, that kind of a recording rather than, you know, the conversation and that goes on in the head. So so that's been real helpful too. Not to say, and there are those stories. I mean, I do get caught up in when you know, family issues and those
sure.
kind of really loaded things that go on. But and that's where, you know, of course, the two-handed recording comes in so helpful. And it's so helpful to be able to talk into the recorder and have the mentor come in and really help me out there. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Right. You know, because what I saw as you were laying out that progression, you really articulated it quite beautifully. I imagine for a lot of us, the progression that, well, practice goes through, but in particular the recording and listening practice goes through, where at first there's a lot of attention on the story and on what's going on with conditioning and how I'm being caught by conditioning and how I'm suffering and, you know, all that goes with that. And
right.
then over time, the percentages, the scales are kind of tipped in the other direction, that there's a lot of spending time here in the present moment and the joy of that and the freedom of that and the gratitude of that. And that there's a lot of the presence of the mentor, and which leads to a lot of recordings, it sounds like, around just encouragement. And, you know, you mentioned cheerleading and just, you know, for me, I know there's a lot of just noticing the beauty around me and what I'm grateful
mm-hmm.
for and
mm-hmm.
and those sorts of things. And that because just the nature of karma, as you say, things still cycle through, of course. And maybe something new cycles through or maybe something old cycles through at a, you know, a deeper level. And then we have that practice of, okay, pick up the recorder, and if I need to tell the story, I'll tell the story. But
exactly.
because we've had that experience of we know the progression, no matter what comes through, at what intensity, we know how to do it. We know, okay, I know how to do this. I know how to pick up the recorder.
Yes.
And let the person who has the whatever going on, it, in this case her, let her speak. Uncensored. It's completely
exactly.
fine. We can trust knowing that the mentor, that life is big enough to hold that without us being swallowed by that story.
Right. And
yeah.
I also see that when I am in that place of that very real story going on, the first thing is to get past the resistance. And it's like there's that identification with the voices going crazy. And then I can hear this really still small voice or, you know, something that just says, well, I can do a recording. And then that's the movement, you know. And
wow.
Then,
yeah.
You know, it's like conditioning can pick up, you know, usually picks up the ante at that point. And
yeah.
this is where the choice is made. I can either stay in that awful
yeah.
place of, you know, ego just strangling me. Or I can refocus
yep.
the attention on the recorder, and I can get through the resistance by picking, you know, just
exactly.
if I take that one step in the direction of the recorder, of the recorder,
exactly.
I've already started to disidentify, and I feel that shift. And
exactly
and
right.
then the recording is actually graver, you know, and it's a kind of a reminder at a future time that I can. You know, when I pick up the recorder again of that process, that whole process of disidentification and dropping it all. So
exactly, because
so
you know
the magic of it.
Oh, that's exactly the word you just literally, as I started to say the word. That's what was, because it is magic. Because what I saw when you were saying that is that the beauty of it is we can truly start wherever we are. So, you know, there's conditioning of such a big thing about, you know, open air is a perfect example. Well, you can't call into the radio show. You're completely identified.
Right.
You know, and it would want, you can't talk group. I mean, you can't pick up the recorder. I mean, all you're going to do is tell a story. But the beauty of the practice is that no matter where we are, that is the perfect starting place. So we just pick it up, we press record, and truly the practice, life, takes it from there. It's extraordinary.
It is.
Yeah.
It definitely is. And, I, you know, it's like these days my commitments go on there and just, you know, totally supporting me around my commitments. And, you know, there's the idea of where I want, how I want to be with my body, how I want to take care of it, how I want to, just kind of focus where I want to focus my life. And this, it's so great to have that on the recorder, because there are so many days that ego will try to get me, you know, just that's a real number and wants me to forget it all. And if I have that practice of picking up that recorder and listening, I'm reminded time and time again of where I really want to be, where I want to focus my attention, how I want to treat my body, how I want, you know, what kind of foods I want to eat, that kind of thing. So it's such a, to me, it's just such a support for the whole human being.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, you're really speaking to it so beautifully. You know, because the thing about it is that in practice we say over and over and over, you know, Sherry's constantly saying to all of us in a million different ways, we have to get out of the conversation in conditioned mind. And what we're doing is, you know, sort of for lack of a better way to phrase it, we're being in conversation with life. And the recording and listening is our training to do that. It's our training to switch from the conversation in conditioned mind to the presence of being in communication with life. It really is a, because I love the way you're saying that. What do I, how do I want to be with my body? How do we, you know, all the reminders, who, what I am, what's important to me, what I really want, how I want to be, how I want to spend my time, you know, all those things, just those reminders of where we actually want to be instead of being lost in that conversation.
Right. And it's just another practice, you know, I mean, it's, we have the choice of picking up the recorder or, you know, staying in conditioned mind and being, you know, kind of out there floundering around. And that practice of picking up the recorder on a routinely basis is what's going to be, you know, reminding us of all that wonderful information that we have on the recorder.
Truly. And, you know, in 10 minutes, we can really only scratch the surface. So I do want to tell people about the Recording and Listening website, recordingandlistening.org, I believe it is. So it's Recording and Listening, all spelled out, .org. And there's a link to it also from our website, from livingcompassion.org. But that is just a panacea of resources, all kind of blog and different ideas of things to record and people's experiences with it. And so anyone who's new to the practice or just wants some inspiration can jump on that website, and there's lots to see.
Absolutely.
So, Nancy, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for asking me.
Such a pleasure to hear people's experiences. So thanks for being with us. Take good care.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Nancy. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I like that. I like that conversation a lot. I like to hear people talk about recording and listening.
Yes.
Because when people are talking about it, I know they're doing it. And because it has the potential to change our lives, take our lives from, oh, dear, to, oh, boy, oh, goody, then that's a happy thing. Oh, goody.
It's a happy thing.
Goody, goody, goody.
That's good.
Yeah.
And it's great to see people happy and hear about how that works.
Isn't it good? Yeah, I
yes.
just love it. It's just it's the absolute best. And to hear people talk, because it does encourage all of us and support us and inspire us, that we can make those kinds of changes in our lives. That it's a process, it's progression. We start somewhere, we practice, we practice, we practice, we practice. Our lives change. We're different people. We have different lives. It's marvelous. It's to realize that awareness practice, at this awareness practice, I don't know about other awareness practices, but it's a how-to. You know, it's a how-to go from a life of suffering to a life of freedom and joy. And it's steps that we take. It's what we do. It's what we practice. And if we do those things, if we practice those things, then our lives will transform. And we will have the lives that we want to have, that we choose. If we don't, we won't. But it's not because it's not possible. It's just because we're not doing it. So I like all those kinds of reminders.
Yes.
And I like having them on a recorder, because then, you know, it's what Nancy and Jen were saying. If it's on the recorder and I have a habit of picking up that recorder, I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to forget how I want to treat my body, what I want to eat, that meditation is important to me, how many times a day I want to meditate, what, you know, what my exercise is, what I'm doing for my work, what's inspiring me, what do I want my attention on, how do I choose to live, who do I want to be. That's I can live in that world all the time, because there's a voice reminding me. It happens to be my voice, which is really fun, right? Because that voice in my head can sound a lot like my voice too, but that voice in my head is not me. And I don't like what it's talking about most of the time. So I listen to another voice that is kind and compassionate and wants the best for me.
Yes. Yes. And with technology today, it makes it, for me at least, very simple to implement
once I have
the willingness to do it. You know, there's no other impediments other than the willingness, which is...
That's right. Because just about everybody these days has a smartphone, and anybody who doesn't can have a digital recorder. And so, you know, it's easy. It goes in your pocket, goes in your hand, little things plug in your ears. There you go. You can live in the world you want to live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And as you say, the only thing that's required is willingness to do it, willingness to get. And that's part of the conversation I really appreciated with Nancy and Jen, that there is tremendous resistance from those voices in the head trying to talk us out of doing it. You know, you hate the sound of your voice. You sound like such an idiot. You don't sound authentic. That doesn't sound sincere. You know, you're just making all this stuff up. This is never going to work for you. Why don't you just quit? This is ridiculous. So you're like an idiot walking around talking into a tape recorder about about how you want your life to be. Right. You know, it sounds like a Saturday Night Live routine. Yeah. And so, you know, then as soon as we catch on to, you know, the only person who would talk to me like that is somebody who really doesn't like me. Why am I listening to that voice? As soon as we get that, now we have a choice. I don't want to listen to that voice. The voice doesn't like me. I'm going to listen to a voice that likes me. Where is that? Okay, we call that the mentor, right? So let's get in touch with that. Let's talk to the mentor. Let's have a conversation with somebody who wants the best for us. All right, here we go. And then it's endless. As Jen was saying, you know, you just, what do you love? What makes you happy? What do you appreciate? When you look around, what are you grateful for? What inspires you? It's endless. The truth of the world that we actually live in, that we can notice and appreciate and record and listen to, it's endless. There's no way we could possibly express it all.
Well, I'm fired up.
And that's what we're training ourselves for, right? So there's a conversation about everything we love, everything we appreciate, everything that's beautiful around us, right? And we're training ourselves to attend to that instead of that hateful voice in the head. That's the training process. Will we always need to listen to those recordings? And when people ask me, well, you know, if I can meet all of my own needs, why do I need a relationship? And the response is, you don't need a relationship. You have relationships because you want them, not because you need them. If you need them, don't have one or any until you don't need them any longer. When you don't need them any longer, then you have something to bring to a relationship. Yeah?
Yep.
So same thing. As soon as we're trained to really appreciate life as it is, we don't need those recordings any longer, but we still enjoy them.
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And I could go on and on, but I think it might be time to turn to announcements.
Okay. Thank you. That was very gracious, Michael. Yes, one of us could go on and on. Yes, thank you. Announcements.
Our annual New Year's retreat in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, features meditation, group discussions, yoga, and guidance with you, Sherry. And this popular retreat, which runs from December 27th to January 1st, is a great way to celebrate a year of awareness practice and ring in a new beginning with Sangha.
And I don't know, in case anybody doesn't know this, it really is appropriate for all levels of practice. If somebody's looking for a first retreat or a first retreat with us, this is a great one. And if it's not full already, it's got to be awfully close. So, if there's somebody on the fence, join us.
Yes. And this coming weekend, this very weekend, Sherry and Ashwini will offer two fun and enlightening opportunities in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, December 12th, Sherry, you will lead a workshop with Ashwini on the Big Bamboozle in Los Altos, California.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, Sunday, December 13th, you, Sherry, and Ashwini will appear at Open Circle Center in Berkeley, California.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. A new session of Reflective Listening Buddies begins in January. So sign up now for the opportunity to have weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness practice.
Don't get bamboozled into not signing up.
That's for sure. And also in January, Sangha will launch a new year of practice opportunities. You'll want to register soon for a free video workshop on January 16th with you, Sherry, kicking off the new year.
Yeah, and that's the one I think last time we talked about it, I asked people not to sign up. If there's any chance at all, you're not going to do it because we can only take so many people. Yeah.
Yes. And don't forget to check out the 2016 schedule and mark your calendars.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1. That's the way to make a show. And a focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is really helpful. So here we go.
Thank you, sir.
Sure. First caller, you are now live here. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Todd. Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, hi. Todd.
Hi.
How are you?
He's good.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to answer an invitation that was presented in the November Monastery Newsletter in the section from the guide.
Uh-huh.
And there was an invitation in there to call into open air and talk. For me, there's a lot of karma around urgency.
Around?
Urgency.
Urgency.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's been noted by family and friends, which is nice, that I talk very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the invitation was to phone, call into open air and slow down. Encouragement not to use acronyms with our practice.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring, I took from it a conscious awareness of maybe the cadence of our speech or maybe how quickly we talk or maybe how slowly we talk, whatever. And that's what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing from what you're saying, I'm projecting, those two go together for you? You suspect that you talk quickly because there's an energy in your body that gets labeled urgency or gets interpreted as urgent, and so you kind of talk quickly to...
Yes. And in a way, it feels like I talk quickly to... There's a couple things I noticed about that. One energy for me. And two...
Say that again, Todd. Yeah. I missed the first part of that sentence.
Sure. I'm on Skype, so I'm probably not very clear. I saw a couple things about that. I think the experience is that I speak quickly to dissipate that energy that is in my body.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ego's way of dissipating it.
Yes, of gobbling it up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I often get flooded with a lot of thoughts or insights or awarenesses kind of at once. And rather than taking a moment or a breath to just sort of go, that dropped in, okay. And then maybe just saying what the next thing is to say in that moment, conditioning takes that and wants to express all of it at once. Like verbal diary.
Uh-huh.
Which is an interesting image.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. So there's a lot of excitement.
Yes. There's a lot of excitement,
uh-huh.
And the being likes to express excitement, but it seems, until I read that newsletter article, and I recorded it and listened to it quite often recently, it's really a part of my recording and listening, that I'm bringing real awareness to how I communicate. And I saw that in the email class as well, with the fifth chakra,
mm-hmm.
in the throat, or the wisdom chakra, or the communication
mm-hmm.
chakra. Yeah, and I saw I hold a lot of energy there, upper chest,
uh-huh.
in the throat, in the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so practicing slowing down,
yeah.
breathing, maybe dropping the shoulders and relaxing,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
allowing some spaciousness around what's going on.
Yeah, and I found it was really helpful to bring that same type of awareness to my reflective listening buddy calls.
Mm-hmm.
Just to slow down and even often have long pauses like I just did.
It's a kindness to your buddy, isn't it, who's trying to reflect you.
Yeah.
you're 12 sentences in and your poor partner is going, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, what do I reflect?
Yeah, because when you mm-hmm. said that, I noticed on some of my way past recordings when I recorded my side of the call, I sometimes didn't take a breath for 3 minutes. I'm like, oh, my poor buddy. what's a bagel tree? What is it?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw how conditioning, commandeering it. It was hijacking the energy.
Yes, because I would imagine that afterwards you get some feedback from the voices in your head.
Yes.
That the way you did that was not the way it might have been.
Yeah,
we'll frame that all very gently, and of course you don't know because you might not have been present to everything that you were saying.
Not present to a lot of what I was saying when I heard it back on my recorder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's got a lot of ammunition to use against you, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
No, it gets you, and that's urgency in general.
Yeah.
Right? People have all of this energy in their bodies, which we can just enjoy. We can just be excited and lit up about life, right? But it gets labeled as something like anxiety or busyness and there's that kind of energy, and it doesn't feel good. It could feel good if it were just a lot of energy. It could feel wonderful, but because it has that kind of negative spin on it, then we're trying to move really quickly and get a lot of things done and dissipate that feeling, and so that I can calm down and relax and be all right, and and then that's when, of course, we make really bad choices, bad decisions, make what people call mistakes, because we're going really fast and we're not paying attention. And what attention we've got is on the urgency, not even the content of what's going on, but just the urgency itself. The go faster, go faster, go faster, go faster. Mm-hmm. So if we could get ourselves stopped and somebody said, well, now, why do you need to go faster? We might not be certain of the specifics.
Right.
We know that we're getting all these messages that we need to go faster.
Yeah, it's I don't want to switch topics, but in the whole recording and listening theme, the last 3 months for me has really super deepened because of group coaching. And the recording and listening, and just I've just recorded more than I've ever recorded because of the sequence of group coaching I took starting in about September.
Mm-hmm.
Mornings with the mentor, and then it went to meals with the mentor, and then it went to transitions with the mentor, and then it went to walking with the mentor, and I took all four in succession.
Aha! Uh-huh.
16 weeks of group coaching, and it just took my recording and listening to a level I'd never experienced before. It was really phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. And it kind of covers a person's life experience, doesn't it? So you know, it's how you start your day, and it's how you are with food, and it's how you are with movement. And you know, you've got a lot of recordings that are going to cover most of the activities of your life. So if I'm getting ready to go out and walk, then I have this whole bunch of recordings. So, like, of course, I could listen as I'm walking to how I am with food and how I am in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's very supportive, isn't it?
Oh, a lot of bases are covered. I just most recently looked at the new schedule for 2016. I can't remember if there was any actual group coaching slotted in there, but I'm just going to put in a plug if those that are organizing the programs for next year, if those could come back up within the schedule, I would be deeply grateful for that.
All right. Well, I happen to know the powers that be are listening.
Oh, good.
So, you've made a good request there, and I'm sure I can't imagine that they're not going to be offered because they are so wonderful. And the coaches who do them, really enjoy doing them. I can't imagine that they won't be on the schedule. But this will ensure that we get an answer.
Great. I really, like I said, my recording and listening practice is just really really deepened and on both sides. I record a lot more during the day, and I listen a lot more of the day because of the support of group coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
Great.
Just changes a day, doesn't it? Changes a day, changes a life.
Day, changes a life. And I just saw that because of all this extra practice I've been doing, it releases a lot more energy in the body that was commandeered by conditioning. So then there's that urgency. It wants to, it's like, oh my God, he's got all this extra energy. How can
right.
I get it? How
yes.
can I get it?
And then not to allow it, full circle, not to allow it to get turned into urgency and just racing around in busyness, but to slow down and really breathe into it and enjoy that energy. Have it for you. Let it, instead of urgency, just let it be bliss.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you soon.
All right. Well, I understand. Yeah, I'm going to see you in a couple of weeks. All right.
Really
Very
looking
good.
Forward to it. Thank you,
Me
Sherry.
Too. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. And I'm slowing down and relaxing myself, Sherry, after that conversation. That was great.
Right. We're all
right
going to.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Sri Devi in Philadelphia.
Well,
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Great. Good to hear your voice. What's going on?
I'm calling because I feel like I'm feeling very lost, I think, and at the same time not lost at all in some way. Like there's a part of me that feels incredibly grounded in my experience of practice, of just being here, coming back to the breath, understanding the conversation. I mean, understanding that it's so critical to drop the conversation. But then I watch how I go off and get completely wrapped up, and it happened in the last about 48 hours or so, in this conditioned world where comparison and duality conversations are going around nonstop. And I watch myself jump from identification to identification to identification, and how all of that turns into anxiety and fear and anger and just so much stuff. And then I'm able to come back here. So it's this, it feels a lot like a major roller coaster.
And Sri Devi, it sounds as if this is new. I mean, not that this hasn't perhaps happened in the past, but you're kind of at a different place where this is happening more than it has been happening.
Yeah, and I'm noticing it because of the level of manifestation it's had within the body. So I had an anxiety, what I would call an anxiety attack. You know, it's hard with like stories and stuff, but so much energy come up in the body yesterday that I found myself literally shaking at work. I had to leave work and just like ended up crying behind a building. And I was watching it. And I've had about a lot of nausea for the last 3 months. I started a new job. I knew conditioning was going to come in with all of its stuff around what are you doing and change and stuff. So I've been very aware of what is happening in the body, trying not to believe it, just working on breathing, but it's amped up. You know, and I find sometimes it escalates around new situations in my life. And so for me, that makes sense. Okay, here's conditioning coming along. There's a new situation. It's going crazy. But it feels more intense than normal.
Yeah, like it's using the same kind of stuff, but there's more at stake in this. And what I mean by that is that, we start practicing because things aren't working, right? Or we just know life could be better, or however we want to define that. And and we go along, and in the beginning, we have all kinds of challenges, right? Where the voices try to get us to quit. To stop practicing, mm-hmm. stop paying mm-hmm. attention. And we make it through. Now, for some people, they may actually leave practice for months. Sometimes people leave for years. And then they come back. And sometimes it's just weeks, right? But there's that, you know, roller coaster of I'm here, and then I get caught up, and it grabs me, and it pulls me under, and I'm gone for a while. I'm totally unconscious. I'm identified with ego, and I'm suffering, and I'm miserable. But you kind of keep going. And after mm-hmm. a while in practice, it becomes clear that you're committed. Mm-hmm. Right? That becomes clear to ego, right? And so it's in kind of a dangerous place at that point, because if you keep going the way you're going, it's going to start losing ground more quickly than it has in the mm-hmm. past. So, yeah, so it's a teeter-totter thing, right? And so we hit that tipping point, and we're in a different place with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. And we can feel it, right? Our lives are working. We feel more grounded, more centered. We can see that things that happen in life are an opportunity. They're not punishment. All of those kinds of things. And so karma is just, I picture it, you know, kind of like, it's a bad image because then people want to go out and kill sharks, but we're not going there. But it's shark. It's like a shark circling. It's just circling. It's just waiting. It knows that there's going to be an opening, and it's just circling and waiting and watching for that opening.
Yeah.
So then you start a new job, right? You start mm-hmm. a new job, and you're in that transition phase. Things are new. You're a little unsure, a little insecure, a little anxious, right? And it comes in for the kill. Mm-hmm. Does this sound right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I've been working on, you know, I wrote down actually on this little piece of paper, and I took a screenshot of it and made it the wallpaper on my phone, because, you know, I find that I have this habit of constantly looking at my phone. And so I was like, you know, mm-hmm. if I'm looking at my phone, like, for someone to text me or call me, or did I get a Facebook update one time, when my screen locks, you know, I'm going to have it be a picture of what I'm practicing. And so I have these seven things I've written down of what I want to do every day. And in the middle of this list, it just says joy, because one of the things I'm working on is I'm going to find the joy in every day, because I know it's there. I know it's there.
Yeah.
So if I'm not there with it, then how do I find it, you know? And that's been really mm-hmm. helpful, because that, what you just explained about that shark, feels like exactly what's happening. So it's the content is either the job or it's the relationship. And what I found mm-hmm. is that it has right now grasped this, it's like conditioning is so happy because this one piece of content, this relationship, which I'm in, where there's an ex-wife, there is so much it gets to do in the world of comparison and duality, who's right, who's wrong, who's good, who's bad, you know, who's better, who's worse. And I watch the attention nonstop all the time, conversation. And I just sit back and I go, oh my, like, this is conditioning's playground. But then I also think, this might be the best thing that has ever happened to me in my entire life, this relationship, for no other reason that I literally get the opportunity to have such direct ability to end suffering, to just get to be in a workshop every second because of how much mm-hmm. ramping up conditioning has done around it. And when I think about it like that, when I approach like, wow, so here's what conditioning is doing, and it wants to compare this and this. Wow, what if I can just find the joy in this right now where I am? How amazing is that? Because then there's nothing mm-hmm. it can do to me. You know, because what
That's
it wants
right.
to say is, if you were better, if you had this, and this, or if he were this, and this, then this would all be fine. And so then the anger comes up. Well, why don't you have this? And why is that person so happy? And they don't deserve to be. And I just go, that's not the point, but it gets me so ramped up. And then when I watch how that manifests, that jumping around, that identification, the anger and the fear and the anxiety and in the body, it's so crippling at times. But yet at the same time, like, it's not crippling because I know it's not true. I just know I have to sit and breathe through it. And like this morning,
that's right.
I was
and
walking
it, and
that
it's not even you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even you, right? It's a story. So if you go to a movie, oh, maybe Jaws. You go to a movie and it's a horror movie, right? You're gonna I mean, if you're paying attention to the movie and you're like most people, you're gonna get some physical reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now you're sitting in a seat watching a screen, right? And yet as soon as you identify with it, you know, you start watching it, you're not watching it from the perspective of I'm sitting here in a movie theater, this is on a screen, it's all made up, there's nothing, we get involved, right? And so pretty soon your heart is pounding and somebody jumps out with something and you scream or you jump in your seat or whatever. It's the same process, right? That horror movie doesn't have anything to do with you, but it's happening really close to you and your attention is on it, so it seems like you're a part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not. So back to our shark image, right? Apparently, I hope neither of us ever have to put this to the test. But apparently, when the shark is coming at you, if you thump it in the nose, it'll go away. Right? And that's what we're doing with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. So here's my encouragement, okay? When it starts in, as soon as this occurs to you, and it will occur to you more and more quickly as you practice it, of course. But as soon as you realize what's going on, you go, oh, your ego. Wow, your ego, having a conversation with ego. All right, I see that. And that's it.
Yeah. Okay?
When it starts in again, oh, okay, I know you. Your ego. You're the voices of ego having a conversation with one another. Got nothing to do with me. Thump. Thump in the nose. Thump.
Mm-hmm.
Can you picture it?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you know, the thing that hooks us is exactly what you're describing. It feels like it's happening in the body. Not that I'm reacting physically to a conversation that's going on, but it feels like it's all happening inside my body. And to realize it's not happening inside my body. I am reacting to something physically because I'm giving attention to a conversation, to a story, just like that horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah, because I watched it today, actually. Like, I had all the nausea and everything going on, and there was a point today where I was so focused on what I was doing, and all of a sudden I was like, whoa, gone. And then, of course, it came back as soon as I realized that.
Yes.
But it was like, it just reminded me, and the other thing that's been going through my mind all morning is the quality of our lives the quality of my life is determined by the focus of my attention and just how critical that is. Where is my attention? And that, you know, I think again, I know what conditioning does. If you see Shoot 80, you know this and you still do it. I'm not buying that. It's just the reminder to myself. And because it's never manifested in the body as severely as it has recently, I think it's thrown me off and it's gotten me in the story a lot. And I think the other thing that I'm also just taking a step back to reflect on is there's me and where I am, and then there's my partner and how he's going through whatever he's going through, how do I figure out how I want to be as an individual and still support him but not allow myself to be taken over or to collude with his conditioning, if for lack
That's
of a
right.
better way of saying that. Because
That's right.
how to be with, because he's definitely in that place around what's going on with him and relationship and family and co-parenting. And I find myself sometimes struggling with, how do I want to be? I don't share those same beliefs. I don't need to have the anger, but I don't want him to not feel supported. And then conditioning gets me on the turn all over again. So I think for me, coming back to who am I? How do I want to be? What is true for me? And not, and it gets tricky because the story then becomes, we'll just leave because this is too much. And I know that story, so I'm not doing it. I'm just staying until I
That's
see
right.
everything I could possibly see. But I just watch how that also repeats itself.
That's right. And so that's a beautiful way to put the two things together. Okay? So there's the thump. Ah,
yeah.
I see you. Your ego. And you're having an ego conversation in conditioned mind. This has nothing to do with me. I'm choosing joy.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And each time you do that, I mean, now, it just happened to me when I did it, so I know that this is true, okay? As soon as I said the word joy, I could feel the joy in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so that's the transition. That makes it clear. That's happening over there. Now, same with him. Okay, so he's got whatever he's got going on, and that's fine, but you choose joy. And joy can include supporting somebody who's having a hard time or supporting somebody who's going through whatever, but you don't have to leave the joy that you're experiencing in order to get involved with that.
Hmm.
You don't need to reject. You just don't need to be involved. So eventually what will happen is that you will just simply contain all of it within joy. And we could substitute compassion or unconditional love or peace or equanimity or whatever, right? But you are embracing all of it within center.
Yeah.
But you have to make that a conscious choice each time. Each time you come back, you acknowledge that you're coming back to where you want to live, regardless of what's going on apparently outside your conditioned mind or inside your conditioned mind, right? It's all, and you know, I don't mean your in the sense that we have ownership of it, just that's what it feels like.
Yep, yep, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yep, yep, that totally.
There you go.
That totally clicked, yep. The
your assignment, and I know you choose to accept it.
I do. Very, very gladly, I do. Well, thank you so much, Mary and Michael. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Sue Davy. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sri Davy. That was such a helpful conversation, Sherry. I just saw a lot in that. It was great.
Oh, good. Good. That thumped the shark. You know, it's so handy because, you know, it's not, I like that image because it's not actually harmful, you know. We don't have to kill people. We don't have to kill ego. We don't have to kill conditioning. Thump it in the nose and affirm for ourselves that really doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm not getting involved in that. I choose joy. I choose peace. I choose center. I choose unconditional love, whatever it is.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. Great. Thank you, Sherry. And we're going to hear from our coaches program now, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
This year's theme is training to live in this here now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services, under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hello, Sherry. This is Claire. Oh, can you hear me okay? Is it a bit echo?
Yes. There is a bit of an echo, but
right.
We can hear you.
I'll move. On a fire escape. Okay, I'm moving. Is that better?
Yes, that's
right.
Fine. You're on the fire escape?
Yes, I was, yeah. yeah, so, no, inside a building, actually. Anyway, yeah. So this is Claire, and this is the first time that I've phoned in.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I very much get a lot from listening to the last caller.
Oh, good.
But what I'd like to say is that, well, firstly, I'm very nervous. that
it's okay. You know everybody is at that juncture, right?
Yeah.
And you just get used to it. You know, you call often enough, and it's just like, I got to call. Okay, yeah. Yeah, and you say, what's going on? You know, it's very casual.
Yes.
But first two, three times, very nervous making.
Yes. So yeah, it was just one thing that I wanted to say was that I had a little creative inspiration not long ago that I wanted to share, and that I was lying awake in the middle of the night and being attacked in all directions by conditioning, and in a moment of compassion to myself, I saw, if I were a doctor, how would I treat this patient? And so I thought, well, what medicine would this human need at this point? And I just began to see all sorts of medicine, like joy and laughter and compassion. And I thought that it would be really helpful if I made that visual. And so I've collected some old medicine bottles, Victorian ones, and I've been labelling them, and I've got a little rack to put them in, and I've been labelling them. So
you can make your own concoctions, your
yes,
own
absolutely.
Combinations.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yep. There's going to be an instruction book at some point, like a little medicinal manual. So, and the exercise made me see that I'm not really aware of my needs, very well aware of my needs. And that's a good way to get me in touch with them.
Mm-hmm. It's true, isn't it? I mean, I think it's true for all conditioned human beings. And I realize that there are tons of kids who grew up being told by adults that they're too sensitive. But that doesn't mean that they're necessarily any more in touch with their actual needs than the rest of us who just grew up insensitive. Right? And so we just sort of were conditioned to go along ignoring ourselves, really, until something happens that we can't ignore. Mm-hmm. Then we're trained to be attacked, especially in the middle of the night, by voices that tell us what's wrong with us and how this is our fault. And we survive that, and then we go along ignoring ourselves until the next attack. And it's crazy. We see this, though, acted out for a lot of people with their bodies, right? People who don't pay any attention to taking care of their physical being any more than their mental or emotional or spiritual well-being. So there's a lot of conditioning to ignore you. Right? Ignore the human being. It's a It's a workhorse. It's a mule. It's a vehicle. And you just use it like that. And, of course, then we begin to wake up to what is using that human being. And we realize it's not us, right? It's ego using us as a vehicle.
Yes. I've got as far as seeing up to the bit that is not, that it's not me. That I still find very difficult to believe. That's probably being an Enneagram one.
Yes, and yet you can tell by listening to it, right?
Yes.
Because it talks to you as you. It calls
yes.
you you. So,
yeah.
My favorite clue, right? Yeah.
Yes, that's true, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just wanted to share.
And your point, though, your point is really important for everybody. That's a huge one. That's a huge con, or with the new book, a huge bamboozle. That you are one entity, and that you, that one entity, are responsible for everything that happens to you, including the ignoring, the abuse. All of those awful things, the self-hate, that you are beating yourself up. I mean, the language of that is so pervasive, right? It's that you hate you, and it takes a lot of paying attention to realize, but I'm not doing that. I'm listening to it. I'm not saying it. Because
yeah.
the conditioning is so deep, we're brainwashed to believe that we're to blame for everything that happens to us.
Yes, so it's almost as if the word "you" itself it contains all the pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And I just want to say thank you to you and Michael for, you know, the practice and everything that you do.
Mm. You are so welcome. Are you going to stick with us?
I already have for 4.5 years. So.
I see. I see.
So I
You're
think I'm going to.
We're keepers.
Yeah, I'm definitely
uh-huh.
a keeper. Yes. Yes, and I've done the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat as well.
Aha. Ah, lovely. All right. Oh, better and better. All right. That's good. That gladdens my heart. So when they come at you in the middle of the night, you do know what to do. You do.
Yeah.
You do know how to take care of yourself. And now you even have the prescriptions and the remedies, and you have a whole plan, a whole program.
Yes, yeah,
very
absolutely,
good.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Sherry.
You are so welcome. Good night.
Night, night.
Thanks for joining us, Claire. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller here.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael, this is Art.
Hi.
Ooh, Art, you sound very, like almost another planet.
Wow.
Not even another continent.
Okay, I got my headset here. Let me plug in. The last time I plugged in my headset, I turned off my computer, so I thought I got out of the queue. How's that?
Better. Much better.
Good? Okay, great.
How are you?
Okay, Sherry, thank you for asking. I'm excited.
Art, if you could speak up a little louder, that would help also.
I'm excited, of course, that like everybody, I didn't
I don't think he heard you, Michael.
Okay, here we go. Is that good?
Yes. As loud as you can, shout it out.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
great. I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm practicing a lot. My Zen awareness coach has been fantastic, just amazing. And I kind of turned a corner this week with my commitments. I thumb my nose at conditioning.
Excellent.
Sherry, what happened was what's happening is that conditioning is saying, look, you know, this is too much. You don't have enough time. You know, you've got to spend more time with me.
Like,
you know, spacing out and wasting time. And I'm doing these process maps. One's on doing medical claims, another is on doing financial software, and another one is on food. And I started doing the financial software, and I'm noticing these bombs that, like, conditioning is throwing me. It's like I'm trying to get something done, and these hand grenades are coming in. And, I feel...
Yeah, I missed that last sentence, Art. You're trying to get something done?
I'm trying to get something done, you know, to help me keep track of the money that I'm spending and the money that I'm bringing in and trying to make life more manageable. And these hand grenades are coming in. And it made me realize, like, well, it says, you know, there's pain under my breastbone as soon as I consider doing any kind of work on the computer about it. And then the stomach, the nausea, I start to type and I bite my lower lip and my face and my eyebrows purse. And then I notice a worry when a pie chart comes up and my stomach goes off and then a forced exhale, like, okay. And then the voices start coming in like, oh, I'll never make any progress. It's taking too long. You're so disjointed and disorganized. It's taking too long. And then I get anger. And then it's, oh, this is no fun. This is total drudgery. And so what I'm really getting in touch with is, like you said before, is that it's a miracle that I've made it this far with this thing on my back, you know, just screaming at me and beating me.
Yeah, that's an image. Let's just stop and underline that for every one of us. It's a miracle that we've gotten to this point when that kind of force on your back just trying to drive you into the ground, right? Yelling at you, calling you names, predicting disaster at every turn. Yeah, it's a miracle that we're still going and getting stronger.
Absolutely. Yeah, the funny thing is that you said that predicting disaster, and you know, I look at the balance, the predictive balance, and it's like, whoa, and, you know, conditioning says, whoa. And I know from the recordings that I've done that you've encouraged me to do and that my coach has encouraged, my coach has really encouraged me to do is that, hey, you know, all these things that they turn out okay, and then just pick up the recorder and say, hey, when conditioning told you that this was going to happen, it was just going to be a disaster, and my relationship is just getting stronger and stronger and stronger with my wife, and it's just, instead, you know, and I thought I'd be, you know, on the street, you know, by now, and just, you know, as conditioning will say, condition says, okay, now I'm going to die alone, ashamed, and in ashamed and in total despair and you know, whatever else it can throw at me. So anyway, I feel the energy. I feel a lot of energy.
Yeah, yeah, because you're hearing that, you're seeing it, you're recognizing it for what it is, and the difference between that and believing it. Oh my God. It's the difference between having a life and not having a life.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what starts to happen is that I'm starting to notice that I've got all of a sudden I'm looking around and saying, I'm alive. And because it gets back on its heels, I guess. Like, you know, you bump the shark on the nose and it sort of goes away. And then I'm looking around like, wow, I'm in the ocean. I could surf some of these waves.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's the secret for all of us. That is the bottom line secret. Don't quit.
don't quit. Just keep showing up, keep doing what you know to do or that you're told to do, right? Because sometimes we lose track. So as you say, you've got a coach, right? Coach is on your side. The coach is really interested in your success and well-being. So you do what the coach says, right? Just as if we, you know, you're in business and you have a mentor, or you're in sports and you have a coach. You know, if we're looking for what's going on in our heads, we're not going to do well. But if we turn our lives over to somebody who has our best interest at heart and just do what they say through all of the difficult times, and then enjoy with them the successes, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
If we get talked into quitting, we're toast.
Yeah. So thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. As you know.
I'm using yes, please, thank you, I love you. I'm trying to, in every communication, I'm trying to splice that into almost every communication that I'm doing. So anyway, I'm way over 5 minutes, but thank you so much. Yeah.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Art. I'm glad to hear that you're there and you're doing well.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you. I sure am, and it's so much fun. It's really fun.
It's a great way to live.
Yeah, it's fun being
all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself.
Okay, you too, and thank you. Michael.
All right.
Okay, good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Art. It's great to hear when people are doing well, isn't it, Sherry?
It is, and it's really true. Sangha is just the very best. It's just the very best. Yeah, all those images are that, you know, I'm too tired to paddle right now, but all the rest of you are paddling, and I'm resting and gaining strength, and then I'll take my turn, and away we go.
Yeah. It's just
good deal.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Michael.
Talk to you
soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.